When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to From Complex to Queens, over at Apple Sources Minor League Podcast. I am Steve Saipa, and I'm joined this week by Lucas Vlahos and Ken Levin. How you guys doing?
Doing okay.
Good.
How about yourself?
Not bad. Been better, but...
Did you all survive the flood? Well, I guess Ken wasn't in the... wasn't getting flooded out, but Steve, did you survive the flood?
Yeah, I had no real problems. My neighbors had some flooding, but I'm good. Whenever it was, like, 2 years ago, with that hurricane that, like, caused deaths and stuff like that, mm-hmm. We had a pump installed in our basement, so when it starts to, like, so that saved us this time, I guess.
Yeah, I did something similar way back when with first Sandy and Irene.
Yeah, global warming sucks.
Yeah, climate's fine. My my office basically told us to go home around like 11. It's like Midtown is going to be underwater. Leave.
It was. All right. So promote, extend, trade, and Peanuts debuted on today's date back in 1950, the Charles Schulz comic book. And obviously there's no evidence to substantiate this, but 100% Charlie Brown is a Mets fan, if you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, who are we? Yeah.
He's snake bitten. He has everything wrong with him.
I mean, the Mets being a Met fan in general is just that single scene where Lucy yanks the football away, and yet we keep coming back. Like, it's,
it's
very
apt. And because also Charlie Brown is like a big baseball person, he would also fit on the Mets. I found some Charlie Brown baseball facts here. So apparently the team that he plays on, they lost 600-0 once. That sounds very Metsian.
Okay.
Apparently once Peppermint Patty in one game hit 5 home runs and she pitched a no hitter, but the team still lost 37-5. Also very Metsian.
So did she just never throw a strike, or
I don't know, it didn't go into detail. Here's another Charlie Brown baseball fact. In 1960, his team committed 300 errors on the season. Very Metsian. Their regular shortstop.
Fielding error do you have to make to get charged with an error in Little League?
I don't know, but well, here's some things about here's just this personifies their fielding, I guess. Snoopy is their regular shortstop, and he falls asleep during games, and he can only catch. He can't throw the ball, so that's problematic.
He has no thumbs.
No, exactly. So
I feel like thumbs are important for baseball.
Why don't they have him playing first base?
I thought you'd think that, but I don't know.
He's the only guy who has the range for short.
But if he it doesn't matter if he gets to the ball, if he can't do it. This is a very Derek Jeter situation here, honestly. Or like a reverse Derek Jeter, I guess.
Here's another problematic thing with this team. Their third baseman is Pigpen, and he's so dirty that he has like a dirt cloud around him. So mm-hmm. when he's up at bat, he can't actually see the pitch. So that's not good.
Maybe the umpire can't see the strike zone and everything right. just gets called a ball. I could see some three-dimensional chess being played here.
Yeah, I mean, it makes it hard to play baseball when you're so dirty that you have a dirt cloud around you.
Yeah, probably.
But all of that aside, so what fictional Met fans are we going to promote, extend, or trade here? First, we have Stewie Griffin. Then we have Apu. I'm not going to try to say his last name.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Peter Parker.
I mean, Peter Parker's got to be the extend, right?
I would put him in that category, yes.
I'm trading Stewie Griffin because personally, I think Family Guy is among the dumbest shows to ever be on TV.
True.
But is he more of a fan than Apu? I feel like Apu is just trying to use the Mets for citizenship.
How do we know that Stewie's actually a fan aside from that literally the one non sequitur where he's like, and the season's over? Like that's literally the only scene.
That's all I got going. That's all I could find. I didn't want to pick like, you know, three different Marvel superheroes because I feel like that's kind of redundant. I wanted some different perspectives here, and yeah, there's not as many fictitious Mets fans out there as I thought there would be.
Maybe that should tell us something.
Mm. But the ones that are out there, I mean, you have Peter Parker, Steve Rogers, Captain America. Like, those
Steve
are the ones
Rogers
that...
Steve Rogers is a Dodgers fan, though.
Right. Well, the Dodgers haven't existed since, you know, since before he went into ice.
Hmm. I guess we never clarified what... Does he pick up a new team? Does he root for L.A.?
He does root for the Mets because he roots for the underdog. So.
Okay. All right. Fair. We know he's not going to be a Yankee fan. He doesn't like bullies.
No. If there's anything is certain, is that he's not going to be a Yankee fan. But yeah, in terms of Stewie's, all I can say is that there's that one non sequitur. He was at opening day, so I mean, you know, there's.
Hey, I've never been at opening day, so he's a bigger fan than me, I guess.
Right, maybe. Who knows? And if anyone would do a stat-centric Mets podcast, it would be Stewie Griffin and not Lucas. All right. Well, let's move on now to the Mets minor league system, which is what we are here to talk about.
It's actually over.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone is aware. The Binghamton Rumble Ponies paid the Erie Seawolves in the Eastern League Championship Series this past week. And unfortunately, you know, you can probably tell by the somber tone that we have here, things did not go too well. Binghamton unfortunately lost. And with that loss, the Binghamton season is over. And the Mets minor league season as a whole is over. The first game of the series, Erie won that one 9-6. The Ponies took an early lead, but Blade Tidwell kind of coughed it up in the middle innings to give the Seawolves the lead. Benito Garcia, reliever, he gave up a few more runs. And Binghamton did rally Drew Gilbert tied the game with a big home run, but then immediately Yoandy Suarez gave it up. And then reliever Wilkin Ramos gave up a few more runs after him, and Binghamton was just never able to catch up. And then in the second game, it was just a complete blowout. It was a complete disaster. They lost 10-0. Not what you want to see.
Just Christian more all around.
Yeah.
Who pitched in the second one?
Christian Scott. He started the game. You figured, you know, he's having a good season. You figured Binghamton might have a chance with him on the mounds, but nope. He got touched up for basically 3 runs in the first inning. A couple of innings later, Luis Moreno, he came in. He gave up 3 innings. Excuse me. He gave up 3 runs in an inning. A couple of relievers gave up a few runs. It just wasn't good. But realistically, it didn't matter because, you know, the Seawolves pitcher, Brent Herter, was throwing a shutout. Seven scoreless innings he threw. And I kind of downplayed him last week. But, you know, he was a Eastern League All-Star. He was a Detroit organizational All-Star. So, you know, he had a good season and he just shoved. And that's unfortunately it. That's the end of the Binghamton season. It's the end of the Mets minor league season. So we're going to do individual reviews of all the teams and all the players and whatever else in the upcoming next couple of weeks. But just as, you know, like a general question, what do you guys think of the 2023 season? Like on a scale of 1 to 10 or something, how would you grade this year in terms of, you know, the Mets minor league system, how the teams did, just kind of everything, your general feelings on the year.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I mean, I have to say, just looking at where we are now as compared to where we were a year ago, you know, on October 1st, 2022, the system is a million times stronger. It's a million times deeper. You know, all of those trades.
Just generally more interesting to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we're not going to have relative unknowns in, you know, the top 10.
I don't get to shove Matt Rudick in my top 10. I'm very sad about this.
Right. I mean, not that, you know, he had a great season. He was deserving of climbing up the, you know, going from a nobody to a somebody. But, you know, if he had that kind of season last year, maybe we're talking about him being in the top 10, in, you know, 5-5-2.
No, I don't think there's any question. You transplant Matt Rudick's season back a year, top 10 prospect in the system, easy.
Yeah. This year, not so much, because just guys developed, you know, say what we have to say about Ron Mauricio, but he had the best season of his career.
I mean,
Mark.
Go on.
Well, I'm just saying, like it was it objectively like great? No, it was solid. It was slightly above average, whatever, but he's never had a season like this before in the past. You know, Mark Vientos, same thing. Like he had a objectively good season. Who else? You know, guys took major steps forwards, and very few guys took major steps backward. And we had a ton of high-level talent traded into the system, and a ton of low-level talent that you can see the potential there infused into the system. And it is just a complete 180 from where we were last year.
Yeah, I mean, I think you do have to segregate this a little bit by hitters and pitchers. And we've talked a lot, and it's been kind of our refrain that they need to improve their development processes. And on the hitting side, it still seems like they've got a ways to go, right? Like, that was really good. Ronnie Mauricio put up a nice line, but was barely above league average in AAA, where the game was being played on the moon. And Mark Vientos killed AAA, but, I mean, all the same flaws remain. This, while we're seeing similar flaws exist with Francisco Alvarez and Brett Beatty to varying extents. So I don't know that they've actually, like the hitting development, I still have a lot of questions about. Pitching development, it seems like they've actually made some strides, and now they're not the Dodgers, they're not the Rays, they're not the Guardians, they're not done yet. But to your point, suddenly we have a bevy makes it sound like too many. An interesting group of arms, all of whom have taken significant steps forward. Like, they didn't invest a ton of draft capital in any of Tidwell, Vassell, Scott, Hamill. These are all mid-round picks who improved this year and look like actual dudes. You could say the same thing about Nate Lavender or Paul Gervais. As relievers, like, there were some gains here on the pitching side. Now, can they do this consistently? That remains to be seen, but that they've never done that in the past. So that to me is the most encouraging thing, that they seem to have like actually implemented some improvements on the pitching development side. And hopefully that's not just a 1-year mirage. Hopefully Stearns continues to expand on that, and then they can leverage that on the hitting side as well. Like, that's the next step.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I know, the hitting philosophies and hitting instructors and people involved, problematic in terms of...
I mean,
of,
they hired a bunch of new guys, and what are they doing? I don't know.
Right, it's...
They also fired a bunch of guys right at the end of the season.
That's also, you know, you brought up David Stearns, and that's going to be adding a new dynamic to things. Unquestionably, I think he has a good record in terms of running a organization and, you know, from top to bottom, minor league system to graduating guys to the major leagues, you know, properly identifying guys to trade for and who to, you know, give up to acquire assets.
I mean, the Brewers probably have, and who knows whether it's actually underrated or if I'm just saying, oh, this is underrated. It's not. Anyway, like, the Brewers have maybe the most underrated pitching development pipeline in baseball at this point. And their hitters, while they've not been as successful there, their hitters sure as fuck lift the ball. Like, they do not have the problems the Mets have.
What is the biggest flaw of every single Mets hitter, except maybe Francisco Alvarez?
He hits the ball on the ground too much, too.
Yeah, no, that is a good point. You only see the highlights of the home runs, but the average is pretty low. The ground ball rate is pretty high. But, yeah, I mean, it's consistently too many balls are on the ground for everybody. That was not a Brewers problem.
No. Speaking of, and this is an aside, Ken, you should absolutely victory lap this Francisco Alvarez rookie season, since I think you were one of the earliest guys on the highest guy on him, and
he was very good. I mean, not without his struggles this year, but
so modest.
Look, he's a 21-year-old catcher who posted a league average offensive line with obvious upside for more and like second tier catcher defense. Like, he's not an elite defender, but high end catcher defense. It's a 21-year-old. That's really good.
Yeah. Really good.
Only up from here.
Onward and upward.
But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's also pretty remarkable that the Mets system graduated Francisco Alvarez. I don't know off the top of my head if Brett Beatty and Mark Vientos have gotten into enough games and or at bats or whatever to like graduate off of prospect lists. I know Ronnie Mauricio.
For Jeff's sake, they have. Though he's not doing the Mets list this year, but.
But I mean, let's just say all of those guys. Let's say that, you know, Beatty, Vientos, and Alvarez are all gone, and we'll still say that Mauricio will qualify because he only got called up the beginning of September, so
something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think he still will have his eligibility and everything like that. But the Mets are graduating a Rookie of the Year candidate. I don't know if he's actually going to get many votes or whatever Alvarez, but he certainly played like a Rookie of the Year candidate. You know, Beatty and Vientos were not the best, but, you know, this, the potential and everything is like that is still there. And the system, the system is losing those three guys, and yet it is universally considered so much better now than it was a few months ago.
I think people also generally liked their draft. I think their draft was fine, but I think among people who know, it's generally well regarded. Like, they did a good job this year, even if most of the teams didn't win games. I mean, look, we talk about the records for these orgs, and it's nice when they win, but ultimately that's not the point.
I don't think. Right. It's wins and losses are nice, and it's fun to see, and you know, optimally, there's a correlation. You know, if your players are doing good, then your team is going to do good as well in most cases. Mm-hmm. But it is not the point of a developmental system. The point of a developmental system is to develop guys to then perform at the major league level where it does, you know, quote unquote count. And they've had some, you know, success this year.
It's going to be, I mean, of course they're only in this spot because they sucked and traded a lot of guys. But it's going to be a lot more interesting to do a top 30 this offseason.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, like we've mentioned before, last year, once we got past, like, 6 or 7, whatever it was, you're starting to, like, pull rabbits out of hats. And you're just kind of picking guys based on, like, okay, this guy has some power, so we like that. This guy is speedy. Okay, great. This guy is a really good fastball. Okay, he's in. Now, I mean, you're going to start to get to that point, not at 6, maybe not even at 16.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the minor league system. It's something we haven't seen in a while.
I mean, this is something we've talked about. The Mets always have guys at the top, now they have guys throughout. So it would seem.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a nice feeling. I mean, obviously, it's way too early to be for any of us to have any kind of concrete top 25 list for next season.
There's still speak for yourself, Steve.
Well, that's why I said concrete. There's still the AFL season to go. There's still, you know, trades and whatever else, but you can very easily, let's see, I just kind of started jotting down names. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32. So I have a list of 32 players that none of them, I would say, are deep cuts. They're all guys that are big time, not big time names, but that are, they're all names that like the casual Mets prospect watcher is going to know. They're not guys that I just picked randomly and like, you know, yeah, he had, you know, six at bats in DSL, but the scout said that he has extreme power or something like that. You know, these are all pretty common names. Last year we were we were not doing that.
Last year we were talking up Sarmiento and Joshua Baez.
Yeah. Jesus Baez. What a shortstop.
Did I say Joshua? Yeah, wrong Baez. There are many Baezes.
There are a lot of Baezes. Unfortunately. That's Baez. And if it wasn't for Javi Baez, we'd have more prospects in our system, but
yeah, it's okay. I don't think I don't think PCA is actually any good, but that trade still sucked.
It does. It's just the principle of it.
Yeah, don't trade. Don't do that. Bad, very, very bad process. I don't think we will see the Mets do something like that again.
Hopefully. But yeah, it's going to be a fun winter. It was a fun season. Are there any specific moments that stand out to you, like, as a, like, oh, this is, like, really cool?
I'm
trying to think of, like, individual games. Like, I didn't go to a lot of games. Not as many as I wanted to go to. I didn't really see anything.
We think about the best guys in the system. I don't know that they had, like, standout. It's not like Jet had a three-homer game or something.
Right.
Or Scott threw, I mean, Suarez threw a no-hitter, but I don't really care that much.
Right, and it was, you know, nothing. It still counts, you know, as much as any other no-hitter, but it was also, you know, a seven-inning no-hitter, whatever.
I just don't think he's a premium guy in the system.
No. He's in secondary tier, maybe even tertiary tier, but yeah, maybe that might be mine, just because there really weren't too many other super standout individual moments.
Gilbert showing up and hitting a ball to fucking Mercury in his first game was pretty cool.
Mm.
And he hit that thing a ton.
Clifford hit some just absurd home runs.
Yes.
Yeah, he's... I read somewhere last week he's one of like seven teenagers in all of minor league baseball that had 20 or more home runs, which is, you know, definitely what you want to see.
I mean, I like him a lot. There's going to be defensive questions, but
hey, I mean, that's when you have enough upside with the bat that it mitigates the questions with the defense, so be it. And he is the kind of guy that could potentially provide enough offensive value that you say whatever with the defense.
Yep. And as we've seen, like, defense can improve. We used to, mm-hmm. We worried that Pete wouldn't be able to play first base, and now he's maybe a slightly above average first baseman defensively. Who knows with first base defense, but like it can get to passable levels.
Right. I mean, he's he makes the routine plays. That's all I want to see from a first baseman. Anything else is gravy because it's first base. But for a time, even making the routine plays for Pete Alonso was kind of difficult sometimes.
I mean, anything in the air was an adventure, I remember.
Yeah, yes, exactly. But yeah, I mean, guys, that's what the minor leagues are for. You have a problem, they identify this is your problem, this is how you fix it, fix it. And some guys do and some guys don't. And even, you know, same thing with his bat. They identified issues with his bat when he was drafted. He addressed it. They identified issues with his fielding. He addressed it. And look at him now. Hopefully signing an extension for
many years. Hey, the man. I think they're going to pay him.
I hope so.
Not particularly worried about that, weirdly. Maybe that's naive. We'll see.
Yeah, so 2023 is over. It was a season. It was a good season. Optimally would have ended with a Cyclones championship and a Binghamton championship, but, you know, you can't, literally, you can't win them all. So it is what it is. It was an enjoyable year to do the recaps and everything like that.
Oh, yeah.
More so in the second half than the first half, but...
Saying not a ton of great names in the system, which I'll complain about. Like, the pun-making ability and the headlines a little down. I'm sure we can address this going forward. I'll put in a note to Mr. Stearns and tell him to draft guys with cool names in the rounds for our sake.
As soon as Zebulon Vermillion went down with Tommy John, you knew that it was not
good. It's all going downhill.
Exactly. Now I want to look up a list of just literally everyone in the system right now. How do I even do that? Let's see. Go to Baseball Reference. Let's go to the Mets. Not the 40-man roster, but there should be a way to see everybody. Here we go. Minor league affiliates. And then we have everyone in the organization. Let's see. Wellington Arisenia. Wellington is a good name.
Yes, it is.
It's very classy, it sounds like. Yes. Brejans Barreto. I don't know what kind of puns can be made there, but it's a good name.
And we used to have Cannon and Hammer and just a little down in this regard.
Yeah, no Hammers. Zach Hammer got let go a few years ago, I think it was. And then the White Sox picked him up and he didn't go past the AFL. See, I'm up to the G's here.
And is checking every player in the system.
I'm checking every player in the system.
You know, this is something we do when we're really low on content. We should make a top 30 on names alone.
Oh, Khalil Lee. There's a blast from the past.
Get fucked, buddy.
Let's see. I'm up to the N's. I'm up to Nick Morbido here. Really is a lack of.
Yeah, I mean, I've identified a serious flaw with the system, you know?
Yeah, no. Well, I guess in the next draft, we know how they need to draft. They say you should draft your best available player.
Uh-huh. Best available name.
Best available name. And there's always some good ones, so. Leaderman Ruiz.
Who are these people?
He's in the DSL.
You're making these people up. These are not real people.
Freela Anderson, Cejas, again a DSL guy. I'm up to the T's, and there's still...
Steve is out here generating names for a Japanese baseball Nintendo game.
I mean, this Crispy, there's our old stalwart Crispy Valdez. He's still around.
I forgot about him.
But yeah, that's okay. That's just all the hit. Anyone that's gotten at bats. Now we're up to the guys. Anyone that's thrown an inning. Peyton Battenfield. That's also a very classy sounding name.
Yes, it is. He's a waiver wire pickup from the Guardians who has like no stuff.
Yeah, no, that's just like we literally just need someone to like pitch.
Well, if he's like your ninth starter, it's fine.
Anthony Kaye, of course, who
Anthony Kaye might be good now, which is
did not allow a single run in his entire Mets tenure, all 3.1 innings of them. Joey Lancelotti, that's there we go. Although I think he got released, I don't recall, but
no. All right, we need to bring him back. Add an Arthur of some kind.
Bring back Zach Muckenhern, of course.
Yep. Traded Muckenhern for Trevor Gott.
Very effective trade. Bobby Rossman, he's been long gone, but I'm up to the U's. It's just yeah. And then, of course, Jimmy Yacobonis.
He didn't pan out, unfortunately. Good bet.
Yeah. That's also something that the Mets did a lot this year. They were good, you know, good tries. You know, didn't work out, but you know what? I see what you wanted to do. And these are the kind of things that good teams, you know, take chances on. You know, mm-hmm. Yacobonis's, the Steven Ridings.
Even Ridings, I think, might still be good.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so definitely next year they need to trade for – I mean, they need to draft for name and punniness. All right, well, that is the show this week. You know, really not much to discuss. the season is over.
Who did the Mets announce as players of the year? It's Jett and Christian Scott, right?
Jett and Scott, yeah.
Yeah, that's probably the right answer. I feel like Stewart might deserve more acknowledgement there. Not that I think he's good, but he had a really nice season for purposes of like a minor league player of the year award.
Right. I think Stewart probably should have won pitcher of the year just because the number, you know, the shiny numbers, yes. The ERA was better, and that's the kind of thing that those kinds of awards are more predicated on, but you can't go wrong with Scott either.
No.
I mean, I think Scott had like the number 3 ERA or something like that.
You Scott know, was but, excellent. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, yeah. And Jett, no brainer.
Yeah, Jett was an obvious one. I mean, there are a couple other hitters who probably deserve mention. Like Luke Ritter was pretty good. But yeah, Jett was absurd.
Mm-hmm. That's also something that we will do in the future. Is we'll give our own minor league awards, or, you know, our top players and hitters and pitchers. But that is something for another week. And if anyone has any questions, comments, whatever, you could send us an email at our email address from complextoqueens@gmail.com. You could follow us on Twitter and shoot us questions there. I am at Steve Saipa. Lucas is at ElvLawHost343. Ken is at Ken1191. And Thomas is at SidMetSeason, SZN. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast from. Rate and review. And, of course, we thank you for listening. And as a reminder, we are Patreon-based, so if you like our podcast or any of the other ones that are in the Homer and Apple Network, you can subscribe for just $5 a month. So we will be back next week. And until then, love the Mets. Love the Mets.